and we're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples here, joined today by USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and School Board Member Dave Colburn here. And they have their meeting coming up tonight, 6:30 p.m. And so that's open to the public if you want to go check that out here tonight. And a lot of stuff coming up on the agenda here tonight. We've talked a little bit about that here. The Western Energy Agreement going to be voted on. There'll be discussion on the school bond issue here tonight as well. So that's a couple of the big topics that'll be discussed. Also some good recognition. We talked about that. Maybe it's time to recognize your athletics teams. I know the high school football team just wrapped up their season, did pretty well.
Yeah, they made it to the state semifinals, lost to the eventual state champion Derby, down at Derby. So really, really proud of Coach Schartz and the kids. They fought hard and they did well.
Well, and it probably was mentioned in a previous broadcast, but boys soccer went to the finals. They lost 3-0 in the finals, but comported themselves incredibly well, particularly considering the fact that their head football coach was dying of cancer at the time and passed away basically the day after the finals. So.
Yeah, that was sad, but they were a great team and rallying together and supporting each other. I think Coach Frank would have been so proud of the boys and the team and the families joining together.
And we've had a number of other, you know, very successful fall athletic campaigns, and now the winter campaigns are beginning. We've got basketball, we've got swimming and diving, we've got wrestling and bowling getting started. So the next round begins.
No rest for the weary at 383.
So,
we've also got some winter concerts coming up. We'll try and get those in over the next several weeks. So between now and Christmas, multiple elementary. So just check your school calendar for the dates and the times and locations. And as Brady mentioned, our winter break, our last day for students is December 19th, and our break will begin on December 20th for students. So, and we return on the 3rd as well.
All right, yeah, it'll be here before you know it. Here, the kids getting antsy in the schools. Have you been able to gauge that any?
Well, they're coming back from a break now, so yeah. You know, it's always kind of a crazy month between the two holidays breaks, and you try to cram a lot into. You know, as Brady said, that's the end of the first semester, so everybody's got a lot of work to do and cleaning up because we're switching classes, a lot of them, especially at the secondary levels. So, yeah, it's a lot of running around, and holiday stress is always fun, but also a lot of good opportunities. You know, there's a lot of energy, and you just got to channel in the right direction.
Well, and then, you know, having that extra day off here, you know, you had the blizzard on Sunday. School was closed on Monday, so you had the extra day off there. Have you ever seen a snow day this early?
Oh, I... They all blend together in my mind, but yeah, this is pretty early, pretty early coming back. So,
and just in case people think that decision is made lightly, one of the things I always like to say is when we interviewed our previous superintendent, Dr. Bob Shannon, for the job, somebody said, "What's the hardest decision you ever had to make?" And he started by saying, "You mean other than whether or not to cancel school due to weather?" Those decisions are. Very complicated and difficult, and one of the reasons is we build 3 snow days into our or weather days into our calendar, and so now we've already used one, and we only have 2 to get us through December, January, February, March, and even April can sometimes reach up and bite you. If you use those up, then you have to come back and decide, are you going to add another day to the school year, or are you going to add minutes to the day each day to make up that time? And those are very unpopular decisions either way. And
people love that.
Not
they
very much it. Fun. So, yeah.
If I recall correctly, I think that there was a snow day, and it's probably been 15 years when we had like a really huge snow on Halloween. You remember that?
Oh, boy.
Eric, you wouldn't because you're too young.
No, I do. What I remember, I think it was a lot longer ago than that. I remember the year that my oldest daughter was born, that was a very cold, wintry late October. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to drive to Chicago in the middle
90s.
Of that. Yes, yeah. That would have been like
have been
92.
Early 90s. Yeah,
she
something
was,
like that.
Yeah, that's. I'm pretty sure it was the October of, well, it might have been October 91. Doesn't matter. But it's been a long time since we've had weather like this this early. So point being, we now have two weather days to work with, and on the one hand, you don't want to use those up and have to add time, but on the other hand, we got to keep people safe. And our district extends way out into the country. We've got hilly, curvy gravel roads, and we got we're running buses up and down those things, and we don't want a bus in the ditch or worse. And so there's a lot of factors at play, and people just need to understand that our administrators stay up late on those nights, and they worry a lot, and it's our decision, but they're doing it to for the best of our kids.
And I know a lot of parents probably always want to know, well, when does that decision get made here? Because sometimes it may not be until late in the night, early the next morning even. Is there a threshold that you guys use to measure that?
Well, if we're going to make the call in the morning, we usually try to make it by 5:30, because that's when our first buses roll out to go on. But we also have those bus drivers coming in there. So usually I'm out on the road in the 3 o'clock range or so. I think maintenance might even be a little sooner. I know Matt Davis will go out and he'll check parking lots. He wants to make sure we can get them cleared off in time, and the maintenance crews start rolling in about then. And I always check, hey, do we have enough time to get the parking lots cleared and the sidewalks cleared so it's safe to come in? So they're the first group rolling out in the morning, and then we're shortly after that trying to make a decision early. But this time we made the decision in the evening, because we kind of foresaw and we knew, especially for those rural roads Dave was talking about, that they weren't going to get cleared, and some of them were drifted well over. I ran into some three, 4 foot drifts on some of the country roads that there was no way I could have a bus go down those.
It's all about the timing of the storm, and you know, I'll go back to, it's not just a couple of people in our office. They're talking to Riley County. Can they get roads cleared? They're talking to the city. Can streets get cleared? I don't know if they talk, but maybe probably even talk with some of their other area superintendents to try to figure out, you know, what are they seeing, and what are they going to do? Because there's, again, it's a multifaceted challenge to figure out. And the question's a good one about when, and the answer is it depends on when the storm hits.
As soon as possible is what I always say.
Absolutely. Well,
as soon as responsible.
Yeah.
Well, safety is always a big priority, I know, for you guys in the schools. This time of year, it's getting colder, and, you know, the kids like to go outside for recess. Recommendations here maybe for bundling up here in the wintertime? Do you have any?
Yes, we agree that you should. Yeah, you should always dress weather appropriate to be able to go outside. We try to get the kids outside. You know, if the wind chill's getting too low, the buildings will keep them in for inside recess, or if there's not enough cleared outside. But, you know, there's a lot of research that shows getting outside, fresh air is good, 15, 20 minutes at a time. Bundle up. But we also have a lot of bus riders, too, so we always want people to dress appropriately, because sometimes those buses run on time, sometimes they're a little bit late, so you want to be able to be out there in time to hit them.
Yeah, limit your time at the bus stop where you got to be out in the cold too much. All right. We got just a few more minutes here left. Maybe we'll just recap the agenda here tonight. What's first on the agenda here this evening? You have a public hearing.
Hearing for our alternate delivery method for using construction management at risk. So basically, you know, we basically put the intent out that this is what we plan to do on our bond issue project. And people have an opportunity to come and give comments on that. That was a law. This is part of a state law. Contract manager, construction management at risk, is there's a procedure you have to follow, and that's one of the steps. So we'll see if any of the things there, and then we go right into the recognitions. So we'll start out with the fun things right after the Pledge of Allegiance and recognize those buildings and people that have gone above and beyond.
All right.
One of the things that will happen in our consent agenda is we will recognize people who have made donations and grants, and so I'd like to do that real quick here, too, because our partners are critical to us. So tonight we'll be recognizing Theodore Roosevelt PTO for a $5,000 cash donation to Theodore Roosevelt Elementary School for purchase of iPads. We've got a $2,395 cash donation from the Manhattan Cross Country Club to Theodore Roosevelt Elementary, Marlette Elementary, and Woodrow Wilson Elementary. We have a $1,080 donation from Manhattan Ogden Schools Foundation to Frank Bergman, Lee, and Marlette Elementary Schools from the Tina Seymour Memorial for book library book purchases. A $1,158 cash donation from Panda Restaurant Group and the Dental Health Group to Eisenhower Middle School for the Eagles of Excellence Worlds of Fun trip. And finally, a $4,150 cash grant from Riley County's Raising Riley to Head Start for behavioral and mental health personnel and costs associated with extended child care services. So a total of $13,783 just in this one board packet from some of our partners.
Our community is awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. $13,000. That's amazing. A lot of donations there, and I know that'll go a long way to helping each of those different district facilities here. Anything else before we let you guys bail out here?
Yeah, we also approve an orchestra trip to Tennessee. Usually we have one of those groups take a trip every year. I think last year was band, so this year orchestra is up to take their trip to Tennessee, so we're excited. Nate McClendon and Mr. Toll, Cody Toll, do a great job with the orchestra program across the district, so excited to see what they can do nationally.
You said Tennessee. Where's that at in Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Nashville.
Nashville.
Nashville, okay. Well, that'll be fun. All right, well, again, our guests here today have been USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed, Board Member Dave Colburn. We also, earlier in the program, had the USD 384 Blue Valley Randolph Superintendent Brady Burton in studio. We appreciate them all coming on, giving us a little update here on education.
Something I thought that the district did that was really nice was allowing the Riley County Falcons football team to utilize the Manhattan High football field for practice so that they could kind of get an idea of what it's like to play on artificial turf, because that's where they played in the state football championship game.
Turf's a little bit different, so we took that opportunity, and we were thankful the track project got done before that, so it was a little easier to get their team on board. So
I thought that was a neat thing that the district was fortunate to be able to provide that for Riley County. I know I saw several people post on that was a nice thing for you guys to do. So
they're very welcome
there.
Well, that's what we do, is we work try together to help kids out, wherever they're from. And we don't have one this year, but in previous years, we've had students from school districts in the area who want to be swimmers, and their schools don't offer a swimming program, and so they can come and participate in our swimming program. And there's a lot of little things like that that go on between school districts that people don't always notice, but again, it's teachers and professionals who are trying to do the best they can for kids, and so there's always a spirit of cooperation out there.
Yeah, much more so. There's not a lot of competition there. We try to Everybody's working for the same thing.
Very good. Well, Eric Reed and Dave Colburn, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you, Brandon.
That's going to do it for In Focus here today on this Wednesday.